respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Welcome to Shooter's Corner, your program for conversation on guns, shooting, and your Second Amendment rights. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters. Now, your host, Chuck Indereeden.
All right, welcome, listeners. You're here with Chuck, and I got Matt running the board at Shooter's Corner here in the great city of Fairbanks, Alaska. Today is July 16th, 2026, in case you hadn't figured that out. Probably not too hard. And it's a nice fall day here in July with a high of 55 degrees. I think we're supposed to get to 65, but I don't know. It's nice that it's keeping the smoke down.
It's, I will say, this weather the last year.
This is like your first summer up here, is it, technically?
Second summer, we got here mid-May last year.
You haven't had a really smoky one, have you, Matt?
No, but what's...
Like, where it looked like we were on the surface of the moon or something.
Exactly, up here before, yeah, nothing like that. But this, I'll tell you, this place has made me a wuss, because coming from Texas and it being, you know, summer 114 to 120, right, up here 75 last week, I was like, oh, it's hot. Well, I'm getting dehydrated. It's broken me.
You know what's funny, though, is I was just down in Phoenix where it was like 112, 114 and stuff. And then I'm up here and it's 55 degrees and I'm wearing a long sleeve shirt.
Yeah.
You're like wearing a jacket.
Yeah.
Well, because like we're both cold now.
Last year, I didn't believe you for that carbine class. You're like, it could rain at any minute. There's nothing forecasted. And then it was like for 2 minutes it happened. But I was like, oh, he's right. So now I have a rain jacket with me at all times.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea up here. So anyways, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to call in at 907-458-TALK. That's 458-8255. And remember, you can also live stream the show over at kfarradio.com. Just click on that big orange ball that says listen live if you don't have any cell phone connection. And if you don't have any internet connection, jump onto a Starlink. Yep, that's right. I said it. And then you can jump on there and you can listen to us on that as well and stream. Also, we have a Google app, or actually an Android app at the Google Store, and also an iPhone app that's at the Apple Store. So you can listen to us wherever you are. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Also, the Alaska Outdoor Mentorship Program will have their next session. Looking at I didn't get an actual text yet, but I think based on the past, I think it's a second Thursday of each month. So I think I'd make it August 13th.
Yeah. Because last week was the second. Most recent. Yeah. So.
But before that was second. Yeah. I mean, just.
It makes sense.
Yeah. Just a little bit of deduction.
Yeah.
But nonetheless.
Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah. Not quite. But nonetheless, they're over there at TVSA Range, which is over at 1230 TVSA Way. Don't know what the discussion is going to be, but I'm sure it's going to be pretty good. So just go ahead and lock in that date for that next meeting. So August 13th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. over at TVSA Range. Remember, public shooting hours are over at TVSA Range as well on every Thursday from 6 to 8. Cost is only $5 for members, $20 for non-members. Then C4 Training Group is having their next ACHP class, actually this weekend, but it's sold out. But we have another date for you. So August 8th and 9th. So, you know, all too often, Matt, we hear these stories from people like, man, I wish I had this. I wish I had done this. And it's like they just didn't know, or they just had never, like, been trained.
Yeah.
So we always hear stories of people who thought that they could defend themselves only to find out from the decedent's family that didn't work out as well as they thought it was going to, right? Because remember, you do not rise to the level. You only fall to your lowest level of training.
So, I'll say this. Yeah. If you think that you're, you know, the best thing ever, you're the next
best
John
thing
Wick.
Since sliced bread.
Since sliced bread, yep, which ironically enough still is not as old as Betty White. But if you think you're the best and the best ever, just know we don't. We continue to train. We continue to take classes and everything like that. But these people that run into situations where it's a life or death and they end up on the wrong side of things because they were misinformed, that's just a malnourishment of education and training. Which means you need to feed your brain, go out and take classes. Just like Chuck said, C4 is hosting ACHP this weekend, and I know Chuck's going to roll into something else, but take classes, get trained.
Yeah, exactly. Which kind of leads into, like, hey, if you have a rifle, like, you probably should know how to run it.
Yeah.
Right. So we have our carbine class coming up the following weekend after that, July 25th, 26th. You can jump on to c4traininggroup.com and get signed up for that rifle class as well as the Alaska Concealed Handgun Permit. And remember, you don't have to actually apply for the ACHP. If you want to just come and get the basic pistol, understand the rules of engagement, if you will, meaning the laws of the land, especially for the state of Alaska, then that's fine. Get that done. Because you'll walk out of that with much more knowledge as, you know, a nourished brain at that point. As Matt said, you're educationally malnourished. But nonetheless, like, even if you just want a basic pistol or you just want something, you know, a basic handgun class for your loved ones, sign them up for it. It's well worth the time. All right. So this week in firearms history, I thought this was pretty interesting. Because I actually want to talk later on, if we have time, about another Henry rifle that's kind of like jumped up on the forefront of things. But nonetheless, this week was actually kind of quiet. Remember last week we had the AK-47?
Yep.
Which was pretty exciting for the firearm industry across the board. And it was interesting that Kalashnikov actually had taken some ideas from the M1 Grand and some other systems that he had seen as well. But on this date, July 16th, 1866, Benjamin Tyler Henry received a key patent improvement for a rifle that would change the face of repeating firearms forever. The Henry repeating rifle had already appeared in 1860 as a 16-shot, 44 rim-fire lever action. While the U.S. Army was slow to adopt it, individual soldiers and units who managed to get their hands on one quickly discovered its devastating power. Well, you know, that's just like anything else. How long were we running, like, Magpul mags in this desert, right?
Mm-hmm.
During the GWAT,
yeah,
the global war on terrorism, before the Army and the Marine Corps finally figured out, like, man, maybe we should be buying these polymer magazines instead of these aluminum GI ones.
Yep,
screwed up followers that were tilting.
They're always either 1 year, which is never the case, or usually about 10 years behind what people are willing to purchase.
Yeah, the procurement system kind of sucks sometimes.
Yeah. No, it's great. Great.
Yeah. So while the U.S. Army was slow to adapt, individual soldiers and units, what were they running then? Like, Google that for me real quick. I think they were like, what, $40 or something like that for one of these lever action rifles. Anyways, we'll come back to that. Kind of curious. It was like a year's worth of wages for some of them. So a single man could fire as fast as he could work the lever, something previously unthinkable with single shot muzzle loaders. I can see how that would change. In 1866, improvements refined the loading mechanism, strengthened critical components, and helped transition the design into what became the legendary Winchester Model 1866, the famous yellow boy with its distinctive brass receiver. And what did you pull up?
So pulled up that in that time, especially for the yellow boy, it was around $38 to $42, which translates now to $700 to $900.
Which is about what we pay.
Yeah. Like it's
not more.
It hasn't really changed, but you look at it now, though, it's better than buying it now. $5,000 for the most beat up one, $20,000 for a mint condition one. So,
oh, for one of the 1866 ones?
Yep.
Yeah. That's cool.
That's rough.
Still going to need to find that CIB with the other rifle.
I've looked. I'm waiting for one to come up.
Yeah.
I'm going to bid on it. Got to
do that.
Yeah.
So, anyways, that rifle, the yellow boy, went on to become one of the most successful lever-action firearms ever made, helping to win the West, protect families on the frontier, and arm lawmen and citizens alike. I guess that was a lot of money back then when people were earning nickels.
Yeah, or nothing.
Or nothing. Think about what that meant in practical terms. Before Henry and the Winchester lever guns, a man with a rifle had one shot. After them, he had 15 or 16. That shift in firepower was revolutionary, and it came from American ingenuity, private enterprise, and the genius of designers like Benjamin Tyler Henry and Oliver Winchester. These were not government-issued wonder weapons handed down from on high. They were commercial firearms developed by free men for a free people. If only the military and law enforcement were allowed to own those repeating rifles, it would not be true freedom. There are certainly arms that should be reserved for military and law enforcement use, but never at the expense of surrendering our Second Amendment rights. The founders understood that an armed citizenry equipped with the best arms of the day was the ultimate safeguard against tyranny. This is why the Second Amendment matters. The right to keep and bear arms is not just about hunting or sport shooting, contrary to popular belief, at the halls of Washington. It is about preserving the ability of citizens to possess the most effective tools of their time for self-defense, resistance to tyranny, and the defense of liberty. The founders had just fought a revolution that began with when the British tried to seize private arms at Lexington and Concord. They knew an armed and technologically capable citizenry was essential. Today, some would have you believe that repeating arms, high capacity, and modern technology somehow fall outside that protection. History says otherwise. From the Henry rifle that would help settle the Wild Continent to a modern sporting rifles we train with today, the principle remains the same. Free men and women have both the right and the responsibility to own and master the best tools available for their defense and the defense of their families and communities. So the next time someone asks you why you own a lever action, an AR-15, or other repeating firearm, tell them the story of Benjamin Tyler Henry and the Winchester Yellow Boy. Tell them that American innovation in firearms has always walked hand in hand with American liberty. And remind them that the right to keep and bear arms includes the right to own the arms that technology and the market make available. That's this week's history lesson from Shooter's Corner. Stay armed. Stay safe. Keep training. And we will see you in a future class. Whoa, man, we just rolled right into our first break.
Beautiful.
When we come back, I want to do my editorial because I want to talk about this merchant category codes as well. Also, kind of go back to what we were talking about, how your own cavalry. Talk about the city of Portland and the craziness that just happened down there. We'll be right back here at Shooter's Corner with Chuck and Matt, 97.5 FM, 660 AM. We'll be right back.
Because dancing makes me happy. I get to entertain people, and nothing makes me feel more like me.
PI, a defect of the immune system, affects millions of children. Early and accurate diagnosis and treatment give children like Olivia a chance to achieve their dreams.
It takes a great team to put on a show. It also takes a great team of caring people to keep a dream alive. And now my dreams are coming true.
For more information, visit the Jeffrey Modell Foundation at info4pi.org.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
Lori Prox here of KBAK Radio with the fishing update and some derby standings. First off, sea lions are starting to show up at the Valdez Hatchery in Valdez. That means the pink salmon are starting to arrive. The pink salmon are a bit late, and Valdez Fisheries Development Association posted that the number of pink salmon returning is low for this time of year. They expect to continue monitoring fish for cost recovery. Justin Prox of Prospector Outfitter said the first report he got of pink salmon being caught from shore was July 7th. He said charter captains are reporting the fish are getting denser out by the narrows, and many of them are jumping in the arm. They're just a little ways behind where they were last year, but they're coming, Prox said.
A lot of young anglers will be looking to catch a pink salmon during the Valdez Kids Pink Salmon Derby Saturday, July 25th.
Anglers can fish from shore or a boat in this one-day derby. Allison Point is easily accessible by car, and it can be fished with the simple Pixie or spinner. Cash and prizes can be won in the Valdez Kids Pink Salmon Derby if you're a kid age 5 to 16, and it's absolutely free. To participate, kids just need to pick up a free hat at the weigh-in station between 6 a.m. and 10 a.m., go fishing, and when they catch a pink salmon, take a picture with them wearing the hat and a pink salmon, submit it to ValdezFishDerbies.com for a chance to win.
Go fishing, Valdez! Easy Freeze is open 5:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. daily. They can book your fishing charter and blast freeze and vacuum pack your fish. Going out on a private boat? Come get your bait and ice. Easy Freeze can process your catch, too. They've got a variety of seafood for sale at their shop on Chittenah Drive. And if you have special requests for pickups or drop-offs, they'll do their best to accommodate. Easy Freeze!
KBAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
It's that time of year again. The sun is out, roads are clear, and gravel is everywhere. At Auto Trim Design, we have you covered. With our self-healing paint protection film, keeping your paint looking showroom new and defending from rock chips and scratches, helping your car stay flawless for years. With our ceramic window tint, not only will it add a stylish look, it also provides protection from harmful UV rays, reduces glare, blocks heat, and increases privacy. From exterior protection to interior comfort, Auto Trim Design has you covered. Stop by or give us a call to get your vehicle ready for summer in Alaska.
There's fishing, and then there's dip netting. Frontier Outfitters knows you need to maximize your catch and that you're working against the clock. So they make it real easy for you to get what you need fast. Whether you're on a boat or shore, from permits to dip nets, they carry fighting handles, D-handles, and more. So your tired, numb hands can hold on when that big king tries to yank your gear into the river. Plus those poles and the extensions for those deep holes and replacement nets as well. Your next outdoor adventure starts at Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
So, you want to go so far up the river you need an airboat? Well, that's just scary, and it's why you need Rogers Auto Repair. Hey, make sure everything works perfectly before you leave. I mean, everything works, right? Rogers Auto knows airboat and inboard maintenance. They use and maintain both for decades, using ultralight plywood so your airboat repairs are light as a feather. Before you disappear up your favorite skinny little excuse for a river, call Rogers Auto Repair. Call 479-6665.
KFAR Weather.
Cloudy skies expected this afternoon, with rain showers likely. Daytime highs approaching 61. Southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. 46 tonight, chance for scattered showers. Slight chance for scattered showers tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 67. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck at Shooter's Corner here in Fairbanks, where it's still a balmy 55 degrees. Hey, so we just got done talking about the firearms history and the Henry rifle and how it's important that we have the firearms that, you know, are invented. Like, we don't need to be stuck back in the Civil War days with single-shot muzzle loaders and stuff like that. Like, it's important that we have basically the same arms, or like the same arms, as the military and law enforcement. You probably heard me say in the past before that, like, if law enforcement and the military are the only ones that have firearms, like, you know, there's a lot of politicians that like it that way, then you are no longer a citizen. You're a subject. Let's talk about our editorial here, because I want to jump onto this merchant category codes. Matt and I were talking about this last week as well, how we deem it to be some type of financial surveillance. And what ends up happening is you're having these banks, these private companies, who are essentially tracking your purchases when you use a credit card, right? And they're doing it through merchant category codes. So in recent years, we've actually witnessed concerted efforts to monitor and restrict the exercise of our Second Amendment rights through indirect means, right? Because if the government does it, then it impedes on your Fourth Amendment issues, your Second Amendment issues, all those issues, right? The constitutional issues. If private companies do it, I don't know, like Flock.
Yeah.
If private companies do it, then it doesn't, because the Constitution generally controls the government, not private companies. But one of the more insidious developments involves that merchant category codes, and it's a four-digit identifier used by credit card networks to classify business transactions. So the introduction of a specific code for firearms and ammunition retailers, MCC 5723, has raised serious concerns about financial privacy and potential backdoor registration of law-abiding gun owners. At the national level, there is encouraging progress. Just yesterday, the U.S. House of Representatives passed the Protecting Privacy in Purchases Act, H.R. 1181. For you guys listening, taking notes, H.R. 1181. You can look it up. This legislation seeks to prohibit credit card companies from implementing a specialized merchant category code for firearm and ammunition retailers. Sponsored by Representative Riley Moore of West Virginia, the bill represents a critical step in safeguarding the financial privacy of responsible citizens who choose to exercise their constitutional rights. We commend the House for this action and urge the Senate to advance similar protections without delay. Meaning, contact our representatives, right? I know we only got two senators and we only have one representative, but we got to get the word out. Why does this matter? Consider the implications of such tracking. While private companies may argue that detailed transaction data is protected from direct government seizure under the Fourth Amendment's warrant requirements, the reality is more nuanced. Businesses routinely collect and retain vast amounts of customer data. Look, bottom line is, and I've said this in the past too, Matt, like, if you are not selling the product, you are the product.
Yep.
We are the product. Everything that we do is collected now. Why do you think they need all these data centers?
Yep. It's not just for fun.
This information, including purchase histories, can be shared with federal agencies through voluntary cooperation, and they have done this. I had seen this. Subpoenas, and other legal mechanisms. Law enforcement or regulators may not immediately know the precise make or model of every firearm, but aggregated data can reveal patterns. How many firearms or accessories an individual has acquired from a specific retailer, the volume of ammunition purchases over time, and other details that paint a comprehensive picture of lawful activity. This is probably one of the biggest reasons why they want to get rid of gun shows as well.
Yeah. Oh, we can't track you.
Yeah. It kind of helps. Going and buying your ammunition in bulk at like a gun show, mm-hmm. like kind of helps alleviate. And don't use your credit card.
No.
For the love of God.
Nope.
Like barter or something. They hate the barter system too. The government hates when you barter stuff.
They just hate when you're not.
Because there's no way to tax it.
You can't involve them.
You can't just leave them out of it, for the love of God.
I'm not adding you to a
text. Are we starting to sound like Tucker Carlson in here now?
Yeah, no. I mean, but, you know, it's so funny how easy it is we're able to fall off on this, but it's so true. Like, they want to be involved in everything, and they're going to do what they can. They're going to get rid of the gun shows. They're going to get rid of private sales. They're going to do all this stuff so that you're forced to do this or you're a felon.
Yeah, well, 1984, man.
Yep.
Yeah. It's like old Reagan said, I'm from the government. I'm here to help.
Yep.
Yeah, you are. So they literally want to be able to track how many firearms or accessories, ammunition, and other details that paint a comprehensive picture of lawful activity. Remember, that's lawful activity that they're just going to be tracking. This creates a functional equivalent of a backdoor registration system. Does not require a formal federal database mandated by Congress. Instead, it leverages private sector data collection to achieve similar surveillance outcomes. The principle at work here is straightforward. If you're not the customer, you are the product. In our digital economy, nearly every transaction we make generates data that can be analyzed, monetized, or shared. Trust me, they're selling this. Our purchases, movements, and preferences are commodified. When applied to constitutionally protected activities such as firearm ownership, this dynamic shifts from mere commercial convenience to a tool of potential oversight and future restriction. Responsible gun owners understand the importance of vigilance. We train not only for proficiency, but also to defend the full spectrum of our liberties, including the right to conduct lawful business without unwarranted scrutiny. The patchwork of state laws, some mandating these codes, others prohibiting them, only highlights the need for clear national standards that prioritize privacy and constitutional fidelity. The passage of H.R. 1181 in the House is a positive development, but the work is far from complete. We must remain engaged, support legislation that protects our privacy, and continue professional training that upholds the responsible exercise of our rights. I think one of the other things that here's the problem with our government as it stands at that level is they might be able to pass H.R. 1181 in the House, got it done, right? And then it gets to the Senate, and then they add all the pork to it.
Yep.
All the additional, like, little ancillary crap that some senator wants on there. Like, oh, my God, we need another data center in my state. Like, yeah. And all the other crap gets added on there. And then we wonder why stuff doesn't pass.
Mm-hmm.
Or why a president might veto it, you know? Or a governor, for that matter. Like, it's just insane. I don't know.
It just gets fluffed up. Look, I mean, you look at the
big, and that's why I'm politically homeless.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, you look at what was it, the big beautiful bill last year or the year, whatever it was. A lot of good things in there. Let's get rid of the, you know, needing a tax stamp for suppressors. Let's get rid of, like, we're going to change the NFA in all these great ways. It's like, oh, that's really cool. So people are able to rally around that. This is really good. And then you're getting the support. And then you start to dig deep into it. And it's, where are we putting money? Why are we giving money to these people? Why does this need funding when we haven't used it in forever? It just gets hidden and hidden. They give you the big 10 big lines. Here's what we're going to do for the American populace. And then you get right under that, all the fine print that's in like negative 2 font. And it's like, well, we're getting screwed.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's one of the other things too. I kind of mentioned a little bit about the stuff that was going on down in Portland. And if you're kind of paying attention to the news, the deputy chief actually got on the news and was talking about how they're understaffed by like 70 positions or something like that. And then their budget had been cut by $20 million. So the nexus of the whole story was there was a family that was down in a park in Portland. And there was a crazy naked guy who was literally trying to wrestle their 7-year-old daughter from them. Now, we know that nobody in Portland, Oregon owns a firearm. I don't know.
That's maybe 4 people. The They're not going around Portland.
Insanity. Yeah. But nonetheless, I mean, these are people who have always been taught, hey, just dial 911 and help us on the way. In this case, no. That deputy chief was actually honest, I guess, for the most part, and got on there and said, yeah, you know, we only had 41 cops who were literally on shift that entire night for a city the size of Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, by the way, yeah, nobody came for it was like an hour. And by the time they got there, they figured out that the naked guy was now in the river rinsing the pepper spray off of himself, because luckily another citizen came along and had pepper spray, and they were able to pepper spray him and basically break this engagement off. But the rest of the cops were pretty much all tied up, I guess, over at some domestic dispute or something.
Yeah.
But here's the bottom line, and it kind of goes right back to what we talked about before. Like, if you are not training and understand the rules of the road, meaning you understand the laws and the use of force, especially in the state of Alaska and then any other state that you might travel to for reciprocity, just understand that I know you didn't sign up for it. You're not a trained law enforcement officer. You're not a trained soldier or whatever the case may be, but you are going to have to be your own cavalry. You need to be trained on this. Like, this is no joke, no lie. Like, you are your own first responder. So, got to go into our mandatory break. When we come back from Shooter's Corner, we're going to talk about a Henry rifle and anything else that Matt decides to drum up in his crazy little mind. But we'll be right back with Chuck at Shooter's Corner here, 97.5 FM, 660 AM.
To the huge 50,000 square foot growth facility, Tanana Earth Company.
Tom Graham, the U.S. intensifying strikes on Iran. Pentagon forces also firing at a ship Americans accused of trying to break its naval blockade. White House spokeswoman Caroline Levitt says there's still hope for negotiation.
They have expressed they still want to make a deal to the president. We're talking to them.
Well, meantime, President Trump says Iranian military weapons stores have largely been depleted. Wildfires raging in Canada are sending smoke into the U.S. Air quality alerts have been issued for several states. Fox Weather's Katie Byrne is in Cleveland.
This is some of the worst air quality in years for parts of the Midwest and Northeast. Here in Cleveland, there's a smell of burning wood in the air. Health officials are urging people to limit their time outside, especially kids, older adults, and anyone with breathing problems.
Air quality issues are being compounded by a heat dome over the Northeast. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Fairbanks Daily News Miner reports Alaska's primary election is just over a month away, and the deadline to register to vote in that election is this Sunday, July 19th. Alaska's primary election is Tuesday, August 18th, when voters will mark their ballots to choose among candidates for governor, legislators in the Alaska House and Senate, and representatives in the U.S. House and U.S. Senate. A sample of the primary ballot can be found on the Alaska Division of Elections website. The top four vote-getters in the primary will advance to the general election on November 3rd. To register to vote in the primary election, eligible voters must be at least 18 years old within 90 days of registering, a U.S. citizen, and an Alaskan resident. They may not be registered to vote in another state. Voters must be a resident in Alaska and the district in which they seek to vote for at least 30 days before the election. Residents are automatically registered to vote, or their voter registration information is updated when they apply for the Alaska Permanent Fund dividend. Residents have 30 days to opt out if they do not wish to register.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
So, you want to go so far up the river, you need an airboat? Well, that's just scary, and it's why you need Rogers Auto Repair. Hey, make sure everything works perfectly before you leave. I mean, everything works, right? Rogers Auto knows airboat and inboard maintenance. They use and maintain both for decades, using ultralight plywood so your airboat repairs are light as a feather. Before you disappear up your favorite skinny little excuse for a river, call Rogers Auto Repair. Call 479-6665.
Hey Fairbanks, Bryant from Auto Trim Design. Now's the perfect time to get your work truck set up right. From toppers, back racks, beacons, running board seat covers, floor liners, bed slides, ladder racks, and so much more. Auto Trim Design has everything you need to tackle any job. Our commercial toppers keep your equipment and tools secure and out of the elements. Need to keep your bed organized? Add a deck drawer system to easily access all your gear. Contact Auto Trim Design for your professional truck grade accessories today.
Customized by Auto Trim Design.
And Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck at Shooter's Corner. We're here in the studio in Fairbanks. So remember, if you have any questions, feel free to call in 458-TALK. All right, anyways, we just got done talking about a lot of stuff. And I think it all kind of dwells on the fact that we as American citizens have an inherent capability and responsibility, I should say, as well, to make sure that we are ready for anything that happens, because as we well know, like, you might dial 911 and then that's going to take, I don't know, 2 to 3 minutes right there just for them to run through some mandatory questionnaire.
Yep.
That they have to ask. And so count that off in your head. And then drive time for anybody, and depending on the weather, that could be, I don't know, days. And then we know that bad guy ain't going to wait around for them anyway. So, like, yeah, anyway, get my point. It's going to be minutes, if not tens of minutes. And then if you're really remote, could be hours and days here in the great state of Alaska. So, like, it really falls back to, hey, you are your own cavalry. Like, you need to be paying attention to keep your head on a swivel for the most part. But nonetheless. We're going to allow Matt to come back on that, because Matt has some comments that he wants to make on that. But I found this incredibly interesting. I found this hardware review, okay, Matt, in AmericanHunter.org. So this is an NRA kind of thing. But this guy, Frank Maloney, posted this on July 14th. But it kind of goes right back to what we were talking before about the Henry lever action and how they've kind of like went away from the yellow boy kind of concept and the 44 rimfire, and now they're literally going into what they call the H-23 Predator. Hmm. And Predator is an acronym. We'll get to that in a minute. So, yeah, screw that. Let's talk about it now. So Predator stands for Precision Rifle Engineered for Dispatching Agile Targets Over Range. Like, who came up with
that? Oh, my God. That was they were really throwing anything at the wall to get that to stick. Jeez.
Yeah, no. I mean, I bet you could type that into, like, AI and be like, hey, we really want to call this rifle something cool. Can we call it, like, the Predator? Okay, ChatGPT, come up with, like, what each letter stands for.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't even think it was that sophisticated. I think they said they gave their employees a bucket and they said, here's a piece of paper, write down what R should stand for. And they just pulled.
So range?
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Precision.
Rifle. Dispatching.
Dispatch.
So it's going to be called the Predator, or its formal catalog code is actually the H-23. So naming conventions aside, Henry is billing this as the most accurate lever action rifle ever created and backs it up with a sub MOA guarantee. Now, that's what the rifle can shoot, not necessarily what the person can shoot. So that's big news for predator hunters as the fox gets mighty small at 400 to 500 yards. Yeah, no kidding. It's like the size of a gerbil at that point. So the natural question is, why? So to use the author's own words here, it says he found the answer interesting enough when he was writing this piece. Yes, there are plenty of bolt-action rifles out there that can meet this accuracy standard, but none will ever be as fast to run as a lever gun. Well, you could just see how the quality semi-auto if you want speed, but then the issue of suppression comes into play. And I thought this was incredibly interesting. It says on the closed action, it will be quieter when running a can. Plus, you eat a whole less carbon. Like, you don't have the carbon back in your face as if you're running a semi-automatic, like an AR.
Yeah,
makes especially sense. If you're a left-handed shooter.
Makes sense. You're forcing everything to go out.
Forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, because the bolt's closed.
Yep.
So the H-23 strikes a balance between these two actions and in a conventional Henry fashion does so in style. Now, they have a picture of it on here, and literally the bolt looks like a .223 bolt, like you would see it in an AR.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a locking lug as well. So it's going to lock in into the barrel itself. So the Predator's action is unique in a lever gun category, but it's borrowed from the Henry Supreme Rifle series. Instead of a stationary bolt head, utilizes one that is akin to the AR-15, which rotates and locks into a set of recesses on the barrel extension. This camming effect allows the action to handle greater pressures, thus enabling it to chamber modern bottleneck cartridges, in this case the .223 Remington. As pointed ammunition can be dangerous in tubular magazines, which I'm sure a lot of you out there were thinking, like, why would I put pointed ammo in my tubular magazine, right? Well, they decided to steal an idea from Stoner.
Oh.
And they went with a box magazine. So it has a detachable box magazine, a 10-round detachable magpul magazine is included, with a 5-round limiter if required where you hunt. Also, probably California.
Yeah, gross.
Yeah. The left coast, Washington, Yuck. Oregon, California. But it will also accept nearly any of the other, what is that, Stanag magazine, if you already have a stash for those. Is that the same one that's used like in the RPR, the Ruger Precision Rifle? Is that the Stanags?
No, they don't use Stanag. Stanags is like the metal, like M4 mags, AR mags, all the USGI
government
stuff.
Government issue.
Yeah, yeah, the RPR, I mean, it could use...
So like, could I put a 30-round mag in this?
Yeah.
I could put a 30-round mag in my lever action. Yeah, there we go. Which would be banned in most other states now. So the quality action alone doesn't get... We're such a pessimist today.
We are, but you could also throw a 60-round D-mag in there.
I like it.
I like that.
Then you could be like the rifle man and just racking through that thing.
You're going to have some like crazy you can have some... forearms once you're done with the range day.
All right, so the quality action alone doesn't guarantee accuracy at the end of the day. It takes a quality barrel. So Henry spared no expense in this department and employed a carbon-wrapped stainless steel barrel from BSF on a Predator. These began life as a thin, pencil-like barrel before receiving several layers of weight-saving carbon fiber sandwiched between high-temp resin, similar to the way items are made from fiberglass. The barrel is also tensioned with a pair of steel collars, thus limiting its contact with the majority of the core, aiding in cooling and staving off shot displacement from a hot barrel, especially if you're running a 60-round drum on it.
Yeah, getting it real hot real fast.
Yeah, no kidding. Finally, it is threaded with a half by 28 TPI to allow for easy addition of a muzzle device, which is incredibly important. Fine furniture has also been cornerstone of Henry's manufacturing process. As we know, a lot of our lever actions are walnut,
yep,
American walnut. But the Predator had to depart a little bit from that, so they're going to still stay fine, but they had to get away from just a walnut stock. So they're going more with a laminate buttstock and fore-end because many of us have read that wooden stocks are harder on accuracy than synthetics, and that is true. However, laminated furniture is far different from a solemn piece of hardwood. Much like the carbon fiber barrel that it encompasses, it is also comprised of an exorbitant amount of synthetic resin. This seals the individual layers of wood from the elements and therefore doesn't swell the way other wood-based furniture does. So also like the carbon fiber, the layer of construction makes it exponentially more rigid while reducing weight. And that's important, especially if you're running a higher pressure round.
Yep.
And a lever action, a closed bolt. So while this allows Henry to add adjustable comb without adding a large chunk to the MSRP, so while you're trying to create something both aesthetically appealing and accurate, this is undoubtedly the best way to go. And it is a pretty rifle. Like,
yeah,
the wood grain in it.
It's gorgeous.
It's sharp.
What I'm liking about looking at this, too, is so they have the Predator. They also have the 23 Laser. The Laser Beam. The Lever Action Supreme Rifle.
So you don't have to mount it on your shark head.
No, you do not.
Carry it on your Henry rifle now.
We need opposable thumbs, and I don't think sharks have those to maybe get those going. But the so they're
it's an Austin Powers reference, where he wanted to have lasers on the sharks.
Okay. I want freaking laser beams. But no, they have what I like because it's funny that you brought this up. I was looking at this a month or two ago. Mm-hmm. I wasn't looking at the Predator model. I was looking at the Supreme one. But I really like the idea that they have in the Supreme model the 300 blackout because now you can suppress it, run subs through it.
Yeah.
That's going to be quiet. I mean, that's going to be really quiet.
You got beavers in a neighborhood, nobody would know.
Yeah. That's all you're hearing. Just like
that. What was that again? Yeah, there we go.
The
lever would probably be louder than the round.
I think the round impacting would probably be louder than the you actually working the lever action.
Fair enough. All right, so that's all you got to say about that?
I mean, I want one.
It's
so cool. I think because it bridges the gap between like old Western that we like in movies and then modern technology, having a magazine, not having a, you know, it's quicker reloads. But obviously, you're not laying down suppressive fire with this thing, but
you could if you're the rifleman.
I mean, if you're
with training,
if you're that quick, you know, you're
not gonna be as fast as an AR with a FRT.
No, God, no. Lever action FRT. Someone's got to make one. I don't know how you'd even get that to work, but I want to see it.
Well, you just pin the hammer. Well, yeah, you pin the trigger, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's got to work the action still though.
Which that's its own safety.
Yeah. Still got to do that.
I don't know, but doing that, wiggling it back and forth like a fishtail, yeah, it just really pumping the rounds out.
Yeah, it is going to build up your forearms.
Yeah, you're going to have, I mean, you're going to be strong.
Build up your forearms faster than a, you know, like a 1-year deployment, but nonetheless. All right. Got a minute left. Let's see. So also for testing, they were able to mount a Trigicon's new Credo HX 2.5 by 15 scope on this thing as well, because it does have a rail on it. So the standard Picatinny rail. So the Henry's included the caveat with quality ammunition. So I made sure to drag out some of the best hunting loads. This is from the author himself. So he was shooting a Hornady's Varmint Express with a 55 grain VMAX. The bullet essentially explodes when it touches fur, ensuring a quick dispatch with minimal tracking. Of the same pedigree as Lehigh Defense's 55 grain controlled chaos. Sounds like a cool round. Except it does damage to without lead, of course. Lastly, I was curious how the rifle would shoot with everyday fodder, so I decided to include Federal's classic soft shooting power point power shock load in the testing as well. So anyways, he was able to get the trigger to break at 2 pounds, 13 ounces. Smooth, crisp, wow. Exceptionally smooth, broke with a touch of a creep and over travel, but perfect. No, we're good. We got to go into our last break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this and stuff, and then Matt would like to talk about how Patriots should prepare.
Yeah.
So, something like cool. That. Something interesting to close out the day. We'll be right back here at Shooter's Corner with Chuck and Matt, 97.5 FM, 660 AM. We'll be right back after this break.
You find your calm and steady out on the trail, wherever Alaska's wilderness calls you, and you keep answering that call every time. The next hunt, the next fishing trip, or camping with the family. Living in Alaska gives you the opportunity to explore. Finding your Alaska is a journey that will always lead you just beyond your next campsite. Frontier Outfitters is here so you can be there. Alaskan proven equipment, the brands you trust. Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Summer in Alaska is calling. Is your ride ready? From camping trips and fishing weekends to road trips, ATVs, boats, and side-by-sides, summer fun starts with a vehicle that works and plays as hard as you do. At Auto Trim Design in Fairbanks, they help you gear up with accessories and upgrades that make every adventure better. From truck accessories and window tint to remote starters, audio, and more. This summer, take the scenic route, hit the trails, and enjoy every mile, knowing your ride was customized by Auto Trim Design.
KFAR weather.
Daytime highs approaching 61 this afternoon under overcast skies with rain showers likely. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for scattered showers tonight. Lows level off around 46, cloudy. 67 tomorrow, slight chance for scattered rain showers. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Hey, you're back with Chuck at Shooter's Corner here. You know what's interesting about the first break is longer because of the Valdez Fishing Report. But, man, those other breaks go really fast.
I love it because I complained during the winter, like, hey, we got no time to talk. It's all break. But this is perfect.
Hey, so back to this Henry H-23, the Predator. Which, if you missed that part, Predator actually is an acronym, like anything should be. This stands for, where did I have that at? Let's see, it stands for the Precision Rifle, engineered for dispatching agile targets over range. Yeah, that's right, you heard it here.
That's a paragraph.
Yeah, right. So quite the acronym that you probably have to memorize for some like promotion board, but nonetheless. Oh, one of the other things that I forgot to mention was it actually is including the Harris SLM bipod.
That's pretty cool.
So it does come with a bipod, which once you see the MSRP, you'll be like, yeah, it should include like four bipods.
And a few mags and some rounds.
Yeah. And a 60-round drum. Yeah,
we'll let you Google the MSRP. We'll let you have
oh,
a surprise.
I'm going to share that with them right here at the end.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, so it just kind of like chokes everybody. But anyways... this guy was able to shoot these three different loads through here. And let's see, with a Federal Power Shock, his average group size at 100 yards, three-shot group. So shooting on a Caldwell, rock rest, rear bag, and the bipod, all that stuff. Federal Power Shock, he was able to shoot a 1.52 group with a Hornady Varmint Express, which was a 55 grain. He was able to shoot a 0.82 group. And the Lehigh Defense controlled chaos, shooting a 55 grain. He was able to shoot a 1.21. Now, all of these are all traveling at 2,900 feet per second plus.
That's fast.
Screaming.
Yeah.
The largest group that he shot with a Hornady Varmint Express, 55 grain, traveling at 2,919 feet per second, was 0.98. So sub MOA.
Wow.
With that ammo. The smallest group he was able to shoot was a 0.61 at 100 yards. The average was 0.82. With a Federal Power Shock, 64 grain, traveling at 2916 feet per second, the largest group is 1.74, so definitely outside of that MOA. And the smallest was 1.31. But
that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. He also finished the day by mounting a Dead Air Nomad TI XC suppressor on there, then stretched things out to 500 yards, where he was shooting a 6-inch gong. So 500 yards, 6-inch gong, hearing every impact. So that's pretty cool. So as the author would say, he says, I can say that the Henry Predator is not so much of a departure from the original design that it diminishes the levered gun experience. If anything, modernization ensures that guns like this continue to see new pursuits while appealing to the newer generations of hunters. And it probably will take the politicians a while before they start banning lever actions.
Yeah, I can't.
Oh, my God, that's the original assault rifle. Like, they'll probably steal what I just said.
I can't wait to see that on a board next to an AR and then next to, like, an M1 Grand. And they say, what's a weapon of war? And it's still the M1 Grand. That's the weapon
of
war.
They'll be able to say that the lever action was a weapon of war, too, because it was used.
Yeah, but not in the configuration it's in. But I also think it does appeal to a younger generation, the way it's set up. But I also think it might be beneficial for some of the older generation as well. Some of them, like you were saying,
shooting a 300 blackout out of that thing with a suppressor.
Getting real quiet. And then not only that, but not having to load my rounds into some type of gate. I can just throw the magazine in there. I can still get the lever action feel, all that fun stuff. But, you know, if my hands don't get as they're not as nimble as they used to be, having the ease of a magazine is pretty nice.
Yeah. Could you imagine using this thing like in a cowboy action thing?
Can you imagine this at the Alamo?
You ready for the MSRP?
I would say yes, but I'm not, but I'm going to hear it anyway.
All right. So just understand that this is a manufacturer suggested retail price. So they're always high. $2,510.
Well, this is us at Shooter's Corner. I'm leaving.
Welcome to How to Manage Your Mortgage.
Yeah. Jesus. You want to pick up a third job? You're going to buy this rifle. That's how you're going to get the third job.
Yeah. Give up your arm and leg. So, anyways, that's pretty cool. All right. Jeez Louise. So, what do you got, Matt?
So, kind of rolling into stuff we've talked about over the last few weeks, I wanted to talk about how to be a successfully prepared American patriot. So, there's a few grounds we can cover here. All right. Weapons training and responsible firearms proficiency, off-grid communications, community and network of differently skilled individuals, and then some additional essentials like literacy, fitness, self-reliance, and ethical leadership. So quickly, I'll go over the weapons training and responsible firearms one.
Can we preface this with one thing?
Yes.
This is not the prepper's corner.
No.
This is shooter's corner.
This is shooter's corner.
Yeah. So just make sure you understand that. All these things do tie into exercising your Second Amendment right.
Yep.
And your right to keep and bear arms.
Yep, because going off that foundational... As an armed citizen. Going off that foundational readiness of what the Americans started out as and what we are today, you have to kind of tie back into that. We get too reliant on all the niceties of day-to-day life, cell phones, going to the store, all that sort of
stuff. We get lost in the noise.
Yes, yep. There's an overwhelming amount of information that gets pushed out, but you have to vet it and do all this stuff. So
sorry, go ahead.
No. Yeah, so weapons training and responsible firearms proficiency, at its start, the Second Amendment recognizes the right of the people to keep and bear arms, rooted in the founders' view of an armed citizenry as essential to liberty for personal defense and as a potential deterrent to tyranny and invasion. However, a right without skill and discipline is incomplete. Training builds safety, responsibility, marksmanship, decision-making under stress, and defensive tactics that enable effective protection of self, family, and community when needed. It also fosters discipline and virtue that transfer to leadership in daily life, echoing the role of trained citizen groups, militias, however you'd want to call it, in the American Revolution. A successful patriot uses this capability strictly within the law and ethics, always emphasizing defensive principles rather than aggression, turning potential vulnerability into responsible strength and contribution. I think we can all pretty much agree on that, right?
Mm-hmm. And we've talked about that in past episodes as well, where it's like, you need to know what your number is.
Yep.
And what we mean by that is your draw time, your ability to react to an event.
Yep.
You also need to know the numbers of the peoples with you.
Yeah.
So we'll get into that too when you talk about the community and network.
Yeah.
So
the other thing too, really quick, off-grid communications. I know people hear that and they think, oh, this prepper lifestyle and all that. But we, especially up here, weather gets bad enough, you're going to lose the ability to communicate, which means the ability to, in a medical emergency or something of an emergent nature, you might not have the ability to necessarily use your phone to call. But modern infrastructure like cell networks, the internet, power grids is convenient but fragile and vulnerable to natural disasters, severe weather, cyber incidents, or failures that can sever centralized communications precisely when coordination is critical. Systems such as amateur radios like HAM, GMRS, and LoRa Meshtastic, they provide redundancy and reach, allowing individuals to send and receive information, organize rescues, share resources, request medical aid, and maintain order or morale during disruptions. I think that's, you can build a whole radio network within your family and your community. I think it's a really good thing to add to your PACE plan, which is your plan of communications or anything really. But getting into community and network of differently skilled individuals, which I think is, I'd say, the most important out of all this when it comes to being, responsible and being a successful patriot. No single person possesses every skill or resource, so a network of people with complementary abilities, mechanics for repairs, medically trained individuals for health, growers for food, communicators for coordination, leaders for organization, creates a resilient whole far stronger than isolated efforts. This matter for resilience through specialization and mutual support, knowledge preservation across generations, building social capital and trust, and enabling faster recovery in crisis, much like historical American barn raisings, volunteer companies, and mutual aid societies. A cohesive, skilled group deters threats through unity and adaptability while reducing systematic vulnerabilities. A successful patriot needs to invest in and strengthen such networks for mutual aid, turning individual limits into collective strength and embodying the principle of united we stand at the local level. Right? So keeping it within Fairbanks and the broader region of that. You can get into a few other things as well. Like I said before, literacy, which apparently I'm not literate today, fitness, self-reliance, and ethical leadership. They all are core competencies in becoming a successful patriot. And I think it's extremely important that not only do we practice the firearms aspect of shooting, but really embodying patriotism, being free, doing what we need to do, doing what we need to accomplish to make sure that we're good, that I make sure Chuck's good, he makes sure I'm good. We build a tight community around each other. So that way I know if I need something and I come to him, I know I'm going to him because he's the subject matter expert in that. Or he can come to me for whatever it is. Or we go to a doctor, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go on YouTube or Google or Grok and, hey, how do I perform open heart surgery? Like, no. And if I have something that requires that, let's say it gets too cold or whatever, but I know my neighbor across the street is a cardio surgeon and I need some help and something happens, it's right there. And we always
talk. Play a good person to have in your network.
Yeah, really good person. Short of a neurosurgeon, I think that's probably one of the best you can get. But, up here, especially with the lack of response time, the moment you go out of city limits, and even when the weather gets severe enough, it might take hours, days for someone to get to you. So having that community and understanding where these people are at, understanding, kind of keeping that in, can help you and strengthen you in times where things might be rough. And it doesn't have to be like people like to fantasize political collapse or whatever. It can be the power went out in your house, the generator went down or whatever, and it's freezing. How can I talk to these people? I don't have cell service where I lived. What radio communications do I have? All that sort of stuff to make sure that I'm as efficient as possible while maintaining security and a sense of peace within my family and our community.
Good. Not so much as you're like, I guess what we're trying to say more than anything is develop a network.
Yes.
You need friends. Friends with skills. And so I would say that this kind of goes back to, you know, like there's a lot of religious organizations that already have these kind of built into, like, you know, men's groups or something like that.
Yep.
Civic organizations that are out there as well. But nonetheless, like, develop a plan, because that's going to help you in the long run. So anyways, what a great show. We covered a lot of topics today.
We did.
And so remember, you can always go to the archives and pull this up, this episode up, and listen to all of our archives on there. KFAR Radio, go over to Shooter's Corner with Chuck Indereed and click on that, scroll down past the bio, you'll see the archives there. Listen to the past shows as well. So stay safe, train hard, and we will see you all next Thursday.
Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters.